محمد وعلى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على حبيب قلوبنا شفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا مولانا الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المنتقبين الذين أرحب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وفرجنا به وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته وزواره في الدنيا وارزقنا شفاعته يوم الورود. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. وأما بعد، respected ulama, brothers and sisters, dear children in Islam, assalamu alaikum jamian wa rahmatullah. It gives me a great honor and a pleasure to be invited and to be part of this celebration where we are celebrating the birthday of one of the most important personalities in our Islamic calendar. And that is the birthday of the Lady Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha. When we are studying the life history of any imam, when we are celebrating the life or the birthday of any imam, and when we are commemorating the martyrdom of any imam, and when we are listening to the lectures, and when we are studying the life histories of these very important personalities in our lives, there are a few questions that we need to ask ourselves. And I find that these questions are so important that if we miss to ask ourselves these questions, we are missing the whole point in doing so. And what are these questions? Number one, what am I learning? What am I learning? Okay, I'm going to this crucial lesson, so to speak. I'm dressing up. I'm wearing my new suit or my wedding outfit. I'm going to the crucial lesson, or I'm going to the shahada. I'm listening to an hour or an hour and a half lecture. But what am I learning from this? And after I ask myself that question, that what am I learning from this occasion or this particular speech or this particular history, how am I applying it in my own life? Am I even applying it in my own life? How am I doing that? And after I'm applying it in my own life, I need to look at my own successes. How am I measuring my successes? Brothers and sisters, each and every single one of us should have his or her own way of measuring his or her own successes based on the lessons that we are learning from Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasallam. And after we do that, how am I going to take my successes to the next level? I mean, how am I going to take myself to that level where Prophet says Salman mina Ahlul Bayt? Yeah? Salman, brothers and sisters, was not from Ahlul Bayt. We all know that. But look at the title he's been given. And look at the environment that Salman lived. There's no difference between the environment that Salman lived and the environment that me and you are living today. But Salman reached to that level where Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam are telling him, Salman minna Ahlul Bayt. That means me and you living here today in the Western society can achieve that level. If we only ask ourselves these questions, and if we only apply these questions to our lives. And as I said earlier, that if we miss to do that, then we are missing the whole point. And if you want to take yourself further, like further than Salman, to get to the point of Meydan, or to get to the point of Fizza, then mashallah to you. Salawat alaikum. So we have gathered today to learn, and my topic is learning from the life history of Fatima Zahra. When we look at the life history of Bibi Fatima alayhi salam, we find that she lived for 19 or 18 years only, isn't it? Can anybody argue otherwise? Lady Fatima lived for 18 or 19 years only. And when we study the life history that Fatima Zahra alayhi salam left for us, we take a look at Bibi Fatima from different angles, don't we? We study Fatima as her being the daughter of the Holy Prophet. We study Fatima salamullah alayha as her being the wife of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We study Fatima as her being the mother of Hassan and Hussein, Zainab Umm Kulthum. We study the life of Fatima Zahra after the Shahada of her father. And then we study Fatima salamullah alayha as her, as Fatima being Fatima. Meaning Fatima is ma'asuma in herself. Fatima herself has this heart. And when we take a look at this entire life history of Fatima to Zahra salamullah alayha and her social work that she has done, including all these roles that we are talking about, her being the daughter of the Holy Prophet, her being the wife of Imam Ali, her being the mother of Hassanain and Zainab Umm Kulthum, we also find Fatima that she is a political leader. As the sister said, mentioned earlier, that Fatima, when she wanted to fight for her rights, she comes out herself to go fight for her rights. We see all this. And in all these areas, we find that there is one thing Fatima salamullah alayha left for us. Not only for us women, but for the men as well. And that is something which we call that Fatima salamullah alayha protected her womanness, her feminism. In what kind of society, my brothers and sisters? In a society where a woman was known to be nothing, isn't it? In a society where a woman was not considered to be even a human being. We are complaining about today's society. In the society that Fatima lived, a woman was not considered to be even a human being. And in that kind of society, we find Fatima salamullah alayha is coming out in full hijab. No historian, whether being Shia, being Sunni, or even the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam, has ever dared to record in the history book that I saw Fatima without hijab. Can anybody argue otherwise? No. No historians, even the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, did not dare to say that. And for the sake of this jealousy, this gathering today, that is the point I like to point out. And that is the point I like to discuss about. Given 10 minutes, and I hope I've not taken 5 minutes already. Hijab, brothers and sisters, has always been a sensitive topic. I remember a few years ago when I had just come back from Qom and I started public speaking, people would invite me and just tell me, Sister Tifa, don't talk about hijab. Talk about everything else, don't talk about hijab. Yes, we want our mothers and our sisters to wear hijab, yes, we want, but we don't want to talk about it. Now, after September 11, wherever I get invited, I'm told, please speak about hijab. And not only that, if divide our time before September 11 and after September 11, we find that at the times when we are talking about hijab, we were talking only amongst ourselves, meaning the Muslim Ummah. Now, after September 11, hijab has become the focal point of non-Muslims. You agree with me?
Yes.
Hijab has become the focal point. Non-Muslims are studying why Muslim women are wearing hijab for different reasons. There are those who are studying why we are wearing hijab for the reason that they want to understand better why we are wearing hijab. Why is it, it's such a hot day, these Muslim women are wrapping up clothes on their heads? They want to know, they want to understand that. On the other hand, there are those who are studying why Muslim women are wearing hijab because of different intention. And that's where we hear statements like, let's liberate these Muslim women. Or let's liberate these poor Muslim women. When I talk among non-Muslims, I tell them one thing. I say, look, you look at liberation in wearing a mini skirt and a sleeveless dress. I look at liberation in dressing up like this. Because one word can be described or can be defined from different angles. And let me tell you one thing. I go back to Lady Maryam, the one who you are priding yourself to be mother of Jesus. So tell me one thing, among us two, who is the one who is following the mother of Jesus? And I keep them quiet right there. I make them think right there. So, brothers and sisters, hijab has a different meaning to us today more than ever. Now, there are times we are studying hijab from the point of view, is hijab wajib? Huh? When we hear our ulama, of course, in the masajid, they talk about hijab. We talk about hijab from the point of view of whether hijab is being wajib and how much should we cover. And we bring those points, or we bring those proofs from the Holy Quran. However, and again, after September 11, I like to talk about hijab from the point of view of the challenges that we Muslim women go through in a Canadian society. Now, when I talk about challenges, I'm going to divide challenges into two categories. There are those challenges we Muslim women wearing hijab face in Canadian society, outside the society, our own society, in Canadian society. And there are those challenges we Muslim women wearing hijab face in our own community. Of course, there are many, many challenges. However, for the sake of this gathering today, keeping in mind time, I'd like to talk about two of them. In the world out there, one of the biggest challenges that we Muslim women in hijab in the Canadian society face is in the employment section. Yes, brothers and sisters, we talk about the importance of wearing hijab. We talk about that, yes, we need to wear hijab, and yes, our women and our doctors and our mothers have to wear hijab. But when we go out there to the job employment, that's when they get us. I was writing a paper in university, and my topic was the employment barriers that Muslim women wearing hijab face. And as I was doing my research, I came across only one study that somebody in Canada has done. And this study is being conducted by women working with immigrant women. It was done in 2002, or it started at least in 2002. And the name of the study was No Hijab is Permitted Here. If you Google this name, just like a sentence, no hijab is permitted here, you will get the whole study on the internet. In this study, it says that 90.6% of Muslim women who filled out the survey reported having had an employer make a reference about their hijab. 40.6% of these women were told that they must take off their hijab if they wanted a job. And the statement is put in this way: if you change your outfit, we are giving you hijab, a job. Now I'm asking you this question, both my brothers and my sisters. I want you to imagine yourself as a Muslim woman in hijab, and I know for the brothers it's hard to do this, but yes, you can imagine. Imagination is not impossible, isn't it? I want you to imagine yourself as a Muslim woman in hijab going to the job interview. And you are desperate to get a job. You are in finance, in a financial, your financial situation is tough. And you are given only this choice that if you change your outfit, we are giving you a job. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? In your mind, I'm sure there are so many things that will come, right? You'll say, oh, where is her faith? She should be tawakkul Allah, and all these words that we throw, all these Arabic words, mashallah, subhanallah, that we throw. But when you are put into that situation, when you are put into that challenge, that is the only time that you question yourself. So two things happen here to these sisters. Either the sister ends up removing hijab to accept a job, or she denies that position and she comes out. And I'm not going to judge anybody. Because I've been in that situation myself, and I am in that situation myself, right? But what does this mean to us as a community? This means that we need to speak more about hijab. This means that we need to do more about hijab. This means that as Ummah, as one community, we need to do more studies like this to present to the Canadian government that our Muslim women in hijab are facing employment barriers. Sallu ala Muhammad. The second challenge that Muslim women wearing hijab face, and I said earlier, this is in our own community. And this challenge I'm presenting to you with pain. You know why I'm saying that I'm presenting with pain? Because it pains and it hurts to see that besides all these challenges we are going through in a Canadian society, we still have to face challenges in our own society, in our own community, from our own so-called brothers or so-called other halves. And this challenge comes to the young sisters who are wearing hijab at the time of marriage. I've had too many sisters sharing this with me. And they come up to me and say, Sister Latifa, I have found the perfect man of my dreams. And I'm like, oh yeah? But I can see that there is a bug right there. But he wants me to remove hijab. Okay, I'm going to pose this question to the brothers. For the people who know me, my style is I pose questions. And through questions, I make you think. For the Muslim brother who so-called calls himself Muslim, for the brother who so-called himself Shia of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasallam, for the brother who stands up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prays 5 times a day, for the brother that as soon as the name of Hussein comes, tears. Huh? We followers of Ahlul Bayt are like that, aren't we? The moment we hear the word Hussein, our hearts grieve. The moment we hear the name Zainab, we start shedding tears. Now this same brother would stand up and command or demand his own wife or a wife to remove hijab. What does that tell you about this man? What does this tell you about this man? I'm not going to answer this question. I'm going to leave up to my brothers to think about this question. So I'm going to wrap up before I get a note that my time is up. I said earlier that whenever we celebrate, whenever we commemorate, whenever we hear lectures, there are a few things that we need to keep in mind, and that is, what am I learning? How am I going to apply it into my own life? How am I going to measure my own success, and how am I going to take my successes to another level? I've also spoken about the challenges that Muslim women in hijab in Canadian society face, outside Canadian government, outside the community, and inside the community. Ending my lecture, I will go back to Fatima to Zahra, salamullah alayha, and remind ourselves that if Fatima alayha salam was able to do all that what she did, let us not forget that beside Bibi Fatima was somebody who is known as who? Ali ibn Abi Talib. As in English we say that behind every successful man there is a woman. But let us not forget that besides every happy and successful woman, there is a gentleman. And that gentleman represents Imam Ali alayhi salam.